Welcome to the Face Darker Podcast, number 72. This week, we sit down with the Birches, Ashley and Anthony Birch. We've been working with them a little bit. You've definitely heard, seen their work. They're fantastic, hilarious people. We talk about all the mean things we used to do as kids, a little bit of pro wrestling thrown in there, and then a little love for the step-up movies as well. So, fans of awesome movies like the step-up movies, dance movies, etc., stick around because you're in for a good time. Coming up in 3, 2, 1, now. Welcome, everybody, to the end of our Face Rocker podcast, joined today by two very special guests, Ashley and Anthony Birch.
Hello.
Hi.
Who have been hanging with us a little bit, working even. Yeah.
Arguable.
The end.
Joined again, as always, to my right, Matt Arnold.
Hello.
Des Dolly.
How's it going?
Matt was just describing before we started a somewhat strange arrangement that you have with your lady where you bury your eyeball into her shoulder. And then squeeze your eye to itch it?
It's this.
That feels so weird. Ah, this feels
you
weird.
You described it as a soft mouth on her shoulder. I didn't think
it was weird. I mean, I wear contacts a lot. My eyes get itchy. I just did it one day, and it's like her shoulder is like the exact like shape of my eye socket.
Have you tried other?
So it's just like
fits. Is that why you're married?
That's why we're married. That's how we met. It was perfect. Your shoulder's not as
fucking
good.
Creepy body horror Cinderella.
There's like some shitty children's book where it's like, and that's how they knew that man and woman were once one. They're connected at the eye socket and shoulder.
There's just a woman sitting on a throne and a bunch of guys going, ow!
It's just, what you've been together for like 10 years and you're married is like, it was surprising to me that was weird. Like she's like that.
But we
just
have
all the things that could happen in 10 years. That I was like, but she just likes to get back scratches all the time. So the arrangement is if I give her a back scratch whenever she asks for it, I can use her. This is really weird saying it out loud.
She's getting
it's really
better.
Normal and sweet when it's, you know, just us in our, you know, privacy talking about it. But now saying it
she's
out
got the better
to other
that,
people.
She's got the better end of that deal. You know,
no
right?
way, dude. Her shoulder's perfect. Great. My eyes feel fantastic every time.
Well, yeah. It feels weird, Matt, and please don't do it to me ever again.
I'm going to keep doing it to you. Your shoulder's okay.
It's the seedy underbelly of Matt going through shoulder tender.
I bet you that's a fetish.
Oh, okay.
Shoulder to eye? No
shoulder
way.
Shoulder to eye? I bet you.
No, really?
Yeah. Enough people have context that's got to be. It can't be the only person who has that.
Yeah, I've grown to accept there's no way you're ever the only person to have ever done anything. Yeah.
Shoulder to eye fetish.
I don't doubt it, man.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels too good for somebody not to have figured it out.
That's, I don't.
It's just, and the way you do is you open and close your eyes, essentially. Which is why I described it as, now I know why it must be weird, because it must feel like a soft mouth, like, nibbling on your shoulder.
Oh, that's fucking weird. Now it's weird. I was totally on board with you until that. Oh, fuck.
Have you tried, like, other 90-degree joints?
What? Curse?
Yeah, you can curse.
You can curse.
Have you tried other 90-degree joints?
Elbows.
No. Like elbows, knees.
Oh, an elbow to the eyes is just a Tony Jaa
movie. Now it's getting weird because now I'm married to this like weird sex, just like exploring the whole body with your eyeball, just finding like the right sockets that feel.
Yeah, when people say explore your body, they don't actually mean that you have explored a body.
with your like eyeball. Like an ant eater, just like going around the body trying to find the perfect joint to. Yeah, it's weird.
My life would be complete, by the way, if we are at something and someone comes up and is like, hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Oh, God.
Hey, Matt, I got some pics for you. Check out these shoulders.
I was reading on Twitter, just talking about like fan stuff, where someone was like, yeah, well, it's like, man, I was really hungry on my flight back. Good thing someone like baked me cookies. I was like, you're eating cookies that someone gave you? Like, I don't know, it just feels, doesn't that feel, I feel like at some point in our lives, someone's going to get like, some Vine person's going to get poisoned by someone giving them bad food.
I feel like most people don't eat cookies. Have you ever had cookies baked for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
And?
I super did not eat those. Yeah. 110% did not eat those. Yeah. I've never not eaten something as much as I did not eat those cookies.
Agreed.
Unless
the person
bad,
who baked us those cookies
like,
hears this.
Because it's like, oh, you know, but you just can't really take the risk. Because it just there's just a potential.
Yeah.
But by not eating them, you're literally telling that person, like, I think you could kill me.
Yeah.
I think you're a crazy person. This nice person spent you know, the night, like, creating cookies that were delicious. They probably tasted them, like, oh, these are the good ones for Ashley. Gotta make sure these are good.
Yeah.
Here you go. And she's like, you're a fucking killer.
All I see when I get a handful of cookies is like, you definitely came in these. There's no universe in which you didn't come in these.
Why else are you giving them to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be inside me. That's what this is, right?
And you're going to take a picture of me eating. Why are you taking a picture of me eating this?
Just for later. It's for later.
I feel like that's the point because there's like there's an extra that's been on multiple seasons of VGHS, Maddie, and I think she's on Smosh now. I remember when she, like, I think it was by the second season, she, like, made a bunch of, like, homemade chocolates for
it was
people.
Fudges, I believe.
It was, like, fudges. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
It's been 2 years. I think she's normal. She seems nice.
You should, like, cross-reference all of their memories. Yeah. Make a chart.
But almost, it could have been her perfect 2-year plan. Yeah, like, in 2 years, I will give them these chocolates. It's finally time. So, but we ate them. We all ate them.
Smells like almonds. Tastes like almonds.
But I think we all ate them. So
and, those great, and they were great, by
they
the
were
way.
Great. She knows how to make chocolates.
So. Did you guys know that ricin is in Hershey's chocolate?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What?
Ricin, like, you guys watch Breaking Bad, you know, the poison ricin?
Yeah.
There's, like, trace amounts of ricin in Hershey's chocolate, apparently.
Isn't there also cyanide in
cyanide
apples?
Cyanide is in peach pits.
And apples.
If you grind up a peach pit and drink that.
It's cyanide?
There's cyanide in there.
You need like 100 peach pits, though, or something like that.
You need like
that's
a peach.
Not that many peach pits.
Yeah. 100 by 100 pits? Peaches?
Well, in terms of
I've probably eaten 100 peaches in my life.
Really?
Yeah. So now you're invulnerable.
You're just having this peach game,
down in Atlanta.
Well, in terms of other weird things that fruits are metrics for.
Sorry, I didn't get what you said at first. It took me a long time to realize you're saying Des Dolly down in Atlanta in a southern accent of sort. Wow. I was just like, what is Freddie screaming? Des Dolly.
Freddie usually is just sort of incoherently rambling in the corner, but this time's louder. In terms of other things that fruits are gauges for, you know, like they measure radiation with a banana.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you mean?
So, like, one single banana puts out a certain amount of radiation.
What?
Like, and the act of eating it exposes you to a very small, minute
banana
amount of radiation.
Banana is the most radiated fruit.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where they will contextualize, like, you know, exposure to radiation by being like, this is the same as eating 100 bananas.
There's no way.
What?
There's no way, like, in a serious, like, movie or disaster, like, if you enter that cooling facility,
it'll be
beware, it's 100,000 bananas. And the guy's like,
Donkey Kong is like, I'm fucking ready.
Anything over 150,000 bananas, you die. It's at some point, it's like, can we stop measuring them by bananas? It really makes everything serious.
It's meant to show, like, people who think, like, oh, there's radiation there. It's meant to be like, no, that's not that bad.
Yeah, it's
not,
just the equivalent of 10 bananas.
To me Donkey Kong and King Kong are just canon. Donkey Kong ate so many bananas that he became just Super Kong and now he's King Kong.
I feel like that'd be the thing where people, if enough people knew that, they would, like, not walk near, like, the banana pile in the supermarket. Like,
I'm sure that those people are out there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, don't get too close. You won't have kids if you, you know.
Eat a banana.
More bananas
if you eat
for
a banana.
Me.
Are you still eating as many bananas as I possibly can?
My dad will do this thing where he'll go to Costco and he'll be like, hey, going to Costco, you guys, anybody want anything? I'm like, oh, yeah, we need some waters. And someone's like, okay, cool. He'll come back and he'll be like, did you get anything? He's like, nah, I just got bananas. And I'm like, why do you go to, like, he'll go to Costco just to buy bananas? And I was like, why do you, like, there's grocery stores. He's like, I like the Costco bananas. We're like, Dad, you don't have to go all the way to Costco. Go swipe your ID on the way in.
Pay a membership fee.
Walk past 80 flat screen TVs, pay a membership fee to just get a bushel of bananas. Like, I like these bananas.
Just membership fee.
Yeah. Although, sorry, more stupid facts. Did you know that you can buy alcohol at Costco without being a Costco member?
Really?
Yeah.
You just walk in and get
so what do you,
a 40?
You walk in and the little guy who's like, can I check the
thing? To be fair, Des, this is America. They have no authority over you as a human being. Also, you could be walking in to get a membership.
So how does that work? When you walk in, they stop you, though.
No, but if you,
you just go, I want to get
crunk. If you're not a member? Well, think about this.
I'm going to get crunk.
Well, think about this, though.
Wait, they didn't imply they couldn't stop you from entering the store because it's America? Like, they have no
words.
People
that
can stop you from coming on private property.
But back up, though, Des. But then think about this, though. How do you enter if you don't have a membership?
You don't.
No, but what? How do you get a membership?
You probably say, I
want
to buy
alcohol. They show you to the membership counter.
You can buy alcohol. You can tell them that you're buying alcohol. They may not
know.
Know
this?
They may not. I was reading about this. They may not know that this is a weird loophole from Prohibition era law, because basically it was like the Prohibition. It was a law being like, okay, you can't have a club, because basically people were like getting around stuff, like starting private clubs that would like have alcohol like be part of something in the club side of things. So they're basically like, you can't have a private club or organization that you pay a membership fee for, and serve and they tied that to alcohol. So then it's like technically Costco being a organization that you pay a membership fee for doesn't fall
this
under.
It sounds like something that none of the employees at Costco are
absolutely.
So like if I went to like the LA like athletics club, right? Like, you have to. Well, like,
if they had alcohol.
They do. We set up a job there. They have a bar there, so I can walk and be like, no, you got to let me in, man. You serve alcohol.
Well, it's like prohibition law.
Yeah, prohibition law, 1930s. Read it. I come in. And then I'm just like a sucker on the street, but I'm coming into this club of rich people.
You could, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's go try that.
I imagine them just telling you to blow off. Yeah. I'll see you at the Supreme Court. Yeah. Like, fuck you.
That's great.
This is my club.
You could, though. Just saying.
All right.
This is five conversations ago, but
it's okay.
I just remembered, because we were talking about fan stuff, and I was thinking of fan fiction, and once I just went on fanfiction.net, and I was like, what's the weirdest fan fiction I can find? And
oh, man.
I was wondering what the weirdest fan fiction y'all could find. I found, like, Bible fan fiction of, like,
whoa,
Jesus
what?
And Judas
like
fucking.
Oh, that makes
yeah.
sense.
Like, Jesus and
Bible
Judas fucking.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're, like, it was weird. They're, like, in a hotel room.
But do they write it in, like, yes. a biblical way? Like, they have, like,
no, it was just, like, a normal-ass, like, yeah, Jesus was hanging out in his hotel room, and Judas showed up, and then they started fucking, and it was like,
whoa,
I didn't even try. It was like even that interesting.
Isn't
no.
there like a story? Just
no,
like they just
like,
met in a hotel room.
I mean, they had like a conversation about like, hey, I know you're gonna betray me, and that makes the sex hotter, I guess.
That's pretty mad. I can see.
I would see like if you're gonna do that, you have to go all the way. It's just like you put your name as like Wong chapter one, you know? It's like, and then Jesus said unto Judas, we will beget soon.
Let's however, get it on. Like, not even like they're in a hotel room because like, thank God you got this hotel room. So the other,
thank your dad that you got this hotel room.
Yeah, yeah. So the other apostles don't know where we are. You know, like at least like something. He's just in a hotel room and he just shows up.
Yeah.
Was he, like,
that's my memory of it. It could have been more elaborate than
like,
that.
Surfing through
Ash just
want
to get to the section. She cut out all these strange details
like,
in her
sex?
Memory.
Like, where are they fucking?
Yeah. Like, wow, 30 pages talking about like what's on the hotel. Like cable. Like, yeah, you're paying for Wi-Fi?
Oh, it was just a story too. My head is a graphic novel. I don't know why. I think I was just imagining it like really clearly.
We should just
body
do that.
Body of Christ.
Yeah.
Wait, well, oh, that's such good. A good,
yeah,
that's
really
good.
Oh, that's yeah. really good. Damn yeah. it. Chapter
guys,
one.
Guys, I wrote that. you found my fan fiction.
Partake of my body.
That's what happens.
That'd be so, yeah. That's pretty weird. I don't know if I can top that. I feel like that's, well, I don't know.
If you were like in like a, because I went to a private Catholic school, I feel like if you wrote that fan fiction and you were caught doing that, like that would just be, they're like, you're, that's hell. Like,
they just execute you. There.
But I thought you could ask for forgiveness before you died, not from this.
Not from this one specifically.
That's Judas fucking Jesus. You're done.
Did you guys ever get VGHS erotic fan fiction?
There definitely is. Yes. Yeah. Because there's the erotic fanfiction scene for VGHS exploded when there was after the episode where it's like, oh, they made out or they had sex, maybe. You know, the
there's
door
definitely
closed.
There's yeah. definitely a weird like Johanna like worship like element of the of the fans, especially on Reddit, which is creepy and weird. there's also a few, which I'm excited about. There's not that part. I'm excited about the Shopbot and Law. There's a few.
That's good. That's really
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, and most of that fan fiction is like really adorable. Like, like holding hands and like walking in a park and like smiling, which is really cute. The weirdest fan fiction is that, and I think we kind of asked for it, but somebody wrote a fan fiction of me and Logan.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, the early days of the podcast, where like Logan came over and like, I think I was like jealous of you, and then he comforted me, and we got in a bath together. And we read it. We read it on the podcast with us acting as ourselves. That's probably the weirdest. Yeah, that was pretty weird. But it was cool. You know, Logan's a cool guy, so you know, I didn't mind.
Could have been worse.
Could have been worse. Could have been Freddy. Me and Freddy.
Oh, heaven forbid. Could have been my shoulder.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, never mind. I'm out of it.
Well,
where was that?
Well, the fan fiction. I told you the story of the fan fiction thing.
Oh, you told me, I think.
Yeah, you told me.
Oh, okay, all right, never mind. Well, just there's a VGHS fan fiction. You know, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, whatever.
What? No,
that's a good story.
Have you mentioned it on the podcast?
I don't know. That's the problem with the podcast. We're number, what, 72, something like that. It's just like,
we have nothing more
together.
To say.
Yeah, it's like, done. That's 72 hours. Yeah.
No, what's this fan fiction?
It was so they have a fan fiction on that, and they were doing VGHS fan fiction. I saw that there was a thread going, and I was like, you know what would be funny? What if I wrote myself into a fan fiction thing as myself, as a upcoming, you know, and like put little details of the upcoming season and like hints, you know, it'd be fun. So I did. I really put some effort into this. You know, I sat there, spell checked it, like really kind of, you know, put some real prose coming out of there. And then the first response on this thread to me putting fan fiction myself, the character in there was, this is reported. You didn't introduce yourself in the out of character thread. Mods, can we get this guy? He doesn't have. I'm like, what? And they just rejected me. Just straight
well, they also
up,
start
just,
saying like that would. You were also.
Oh,
putting,
and then they were saying like
you're doing hints of season two before
and
season
like,
two
that would
came
never
out.
Happen. This is disrespectful to the show and the creators. I'm like, what? So that was that. And I went back to, I went to the out character. I'm like, hey guys, sorry, I didn't read the thread rule. I'm just kind of new to this. My bad. Hey, I'm, you know, and there's like, not, that's not an excuse. The rules are right there at the top. I was like, whoa, these guys are really hardcore about the rules of fan fiction.
Now that I think about it, I think you have told that story on this podcast twice before.
Oh man.
I think it's the third time.
It's Freddie's favorite confetti from this.
Third anniversary of the story. I think it's true. I think that always starts the same way. It's like, have we told the story before?
Everyone listening is going,
no! Not again, no! They're furiously pressing the fast forward.
They're Woody Harrelson and fucking True Detective watching it.
No! No!
Awesome.
Has anybody done like the thing where they replace the the screen of that and out of context and you just have his reaction to that? Yeah, I feel like they must have.
It was a real small meme for like maybe a week, maybe.
Dang, I thought that meme had legs, bro.
Yeah. There's a much better meme on Saul looking at Walter in his cell in the Breaking Bad finale. That one has legs. Just because there's so many good Bryan Cranston videos of him doing weird shit in the middle.
Well, I always thought the one that was gonna be that could have gone was when Kim Jong-il died. There was like the state propaganda put out these images of like just hundreds and hundreds of people lined up just looking at the screen and weeping over the death of, the North Korean leader. And I was like, man, someone just needs to put like the first 15 minutes of Up on that screen. just rows of thousands of people just on their knees, just like crying. It's like, yeah, that's about right. But it never happened.
No.
Really? No one, that didn't become a meme at all?
No, not even a little bit.
Weird.
Man, we're talking about memes. That's weird.
Thanks, Anthony. You show up, and then it's just Meme City.
God fucking.
Oh, that's right. Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
There's fucking five memes in that fucking game.
How dare you reference anything? How dare you, Anthony?
Well, just to dig into that a little bit.
Well, we had the same reaction on VGHS for sure.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things where it's like,
called Blackface of geek culture.
What?
Yeah.
I remember just looking at that
statement. I've been accused of almost an identical word for word thing about Ash's character.
It's so nuts to me because I think because what it really comes down to is I don't think people know what memes are. I think they're using that word to be a placeholder word for just something else because they're just like, yeah, you guys got so many memes. I remember it was James Dean's character. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, this is just a meme fest. Like games. I was like, stop. Which ones? No, seriously, which ones? It's a reference to a 1950s motorcycle accident, like,
It's like nope.avi and stuff. I think some people may use memes for trips. I think people know what memes are. I think it's just weird that memes are, like, weirdly, like, you can't reference them as opposed to referencing movies or things like that.
My theory is that people like when you make something that is as relatively high profile as a game like Borderlands 2 or a web series like VGHS, you implicitly become the elite.
The man in the
view of your audience. You're like, you're co-opting our culture. Yeah. And it's like, I'm on Reddit all the time, right? But like, I'm one of you, but like, no, it doesn't count because you had money behind you.
Because you're successful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need to be down in the forums of that.
See, but what's interesting, so you bring up a good point because there's a very sort of preciousness that you see in like internet communities where it's like, this is our thing and stuff like that. And then, but at the same time, there's this, again, it's like a groupthink thing where it's like everyone collectively decides like something is okay to go. Like to me, the one that was the example of that from Rhett was like the guy who's like, who did just a little fan fiction thing about like, oh, what if the US military got transported to Rome? Like, what would happen there? And he sort of like writing stuff. And then he became very successful. He got optioned and stuff like that. But then the tone around that was very much just like, yeah, one of us. But it was like, that was okay. But it was everyone decided that was okay.
Yeah.
To be like,
the origin of it. And
yeah,
it was local boy makes good. Like he came from our house.
Which is, I think it's always kind of endlessly interesting what people as a uncoordinated massive whole sort of think are like, oh, this is okay. And
right,
this is
sanctioned and this isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird to see how that can even happen that process happens.
And when it goes wrong, it gets like your dad trying to reference tweets. Like, it feels like so incredibly weird that like there's a lot of references to stuff in Borderlands. Like there's just weird puns
what's weird
things,
to me, yeah,
the,
exactly.
The number of memes was like maybe less than 10.
I think there's like a defensiveness.
8,000 lines.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think so much. I feel like our generation, whatever that means, or Reddit feels like we get pandered to so often from from like big companies. Like, you know, there's all those Twitter accounts of all the various things those Twitter companies trying to do. Though.
Well, yeah, there's a Twitter account that just is brand saying bae.
Yeah.
And all it is just him just finding like, or whoever it is, I have no idea who it is, but it's just them looking at corporate accounts and just finding ones where they're just like trying to be like hip, cool kids. And it's like so embarrassing when it's like laid out.
When your bae wants waffles, think IHOP.
Yeah, exactly. This is like the injection of corporate whatever into that.
But I think there's just a straight, I think there's a very easy knee-jerk reaction when people see something that references something internet related or meme or whatever, that's like, oh, they're just being they're just trying to get us. Yeah. Like, they're just trying to be insincere.
Oh, like there's a sort of built-in defensiveness.
Yeah,
to,
I think it's just instantly you just kind of assume like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
That makes a lot
like,
of sense.
Yeah. But you know, hey man, we play video games.
No, that it was just again, it's just to me, that's the most fascinating part of the response to kind of both of the things, which is always just like, well, what are you talking? Like, come on, just give me an example here, because like I really want to understand why what you're saying here, and I really just can't see what you're saying.
But then, as you tell me, then you realize you're just getting upset about like 4 12-year-olds that are on Reddit.
That's true.
Like, I could probably beat them in a fight simultaneously, so it's fine.
I could beat you guys up, so whatever.
What's was incredible, by the way, is, like, nobody at the high-level thing. It's like, you know, you see, like, the guys who do, like, you know, the crazy, like, Twitter, like, meltdowns. Nobody's ever just gone, well, maybe they have. I would love to be just, like, 12-year-old insults. It's like, yeah, well, my dad can beat up your dad. It's like, what? Your dad? It's like, yeah. And just use that as just all your responses.
What age does that stop? Have any of you heard somebody say that?
My dad can beat up your dad.
I've never heard that my entire life.
I don't think I ever have.
Never heard it.
I think it's like old.
Yeah. Like first grade.
Yeah, it'd have to be like first grade.
I heard your dad is poor.
Whoa! That's way worse.
Oh, God.
Your dad's poorer than my dad.
That was probably third grade.
Yeah.
I got your dad's poor.
The unkindest cut.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean,
that's like real. That's
just
like,
that you can't really come back from that either.
It wasn't your poor. It's just your fucking dad is poor.
Which means you're poor, too. Yeah, when you come back with that, it's like...
You don't.
It's
you,
like a double. It's a double whammy, because it's implied. It's like implicit, like, you're poor.
Yeah, you insult yourself in your own head when you, when you follow that trail of logic.
No, you just,
jeez.
That might be...
That's a fight starter and ender.
That might be the best insult to shut down. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Try that one on Twitter. Hey, you should try that one on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Your dad's poor. Yeah, that'd be great. Twitter will be great. Twitter's a great venue for that one, guys.
I think that works when you're in, like, third grade.
Yeah.
Oh, it works when you're in third grade.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not like making fun of your name. That's not like anything that you can compare. It's just like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a stark.
Yeah.
Like,
welcome to the financial realities of life,
well,
third grader.
I think third grade's like the perfect where you still don't quite understand money, but you.
You get what that
you
means.
You get enough of it. That is also ambiguous enough that's even more painful because you're just like, it just means I'm bad. Like, it's just this, like, horrible
thing. You have the value.
Whereas, like, in high school, be like, whatever, you elite, like, bureaucratic piece of shit. Like, your dad's a rich asshole who destroys the country.
Yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Third grade, you're just like, oh, God. I don't quite understand it, but that's why my dad cries at night. It's just like, so then he's just like, yep.
Damn, kids are cruel.
Kids are cruel.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. They just don't know better. That's really what it is. They just, they're testing their limits.
They're like, how... So Louis C.K.'s got that bit.
Yeah.
It's like they said that, and then you walked away, and the kid's like, I think what I said was probably pretty bad. Maybe I shouldn't say that ever again.
What's the meanest thing you've ever said?
Or they're like,
to a kid.
To a kid?
When you were a kid, the one that haunts you at night, the one that you still remember.
I remember it. Okay. I don't think this was mean.
It was you. You said your dad's poor.
Twist ending.
That would have been an incredible turn. It was me. That's my line.
That's my line.
No, I got in so much trouble because the same kid was always picking on me. And this argument, he was like, well, you know what a dolly is. It's a tool, right? Which means you're a tool. And I was so sick of this kid.
Dude, he got you.
Dude, he got you so hard.
Just the worst burns. And then he peaked at your dad is poor.
Really quick. That's the same kid?
Yeah, same kid.
I just want to point out that he went for a dolly equivalent to a, like a stevedore's tool as opposed to, like, a feminine object. You know, it was just like, dolly,
like, hey, gender normative insults aren't cool. Okay,
just real quick.
This kid was constantly berating me, and I just got tired of it, and I called him a penis wrinkle.
That's great.
I don't know where that came from.
That's good. No, it's not bad at all.
That's just solid.
Like, I was just like, eh, whatever. You had penis wrinkle. I just thought it was funny. Yeah. And I got in so much trouble.
No, really?
Again, I was at a private Catholic school, and they're like, you know you're going to hell now. You can't say stuff like that.
Wow.
You need to go to confession.
You got
right
in
now.
Trouble.
And I was like, what? This is bullshit. Come on.
Please tell me your confession. You're just like, okay, so
Do you know how weird that is? To be that age and you're sitting in a room, you're talking through the grate, and there's a priest on the other side.
Yeah, some kid's been like fucking...
Like, this kid's... You know, but you can't complain in there. I'm not going to like... Like, I call a kid a penis wrinkle.
I've got,
and now I'm sorry.
If I was a priest, I'd be like, this is what it would be here. You be you. Yeah. This is what the sound would be.
Father, I, you know, it's been a few months since my last confession.
Okay, let's go on.
I'm here because I want to confess my sins. I called Carrie a penis wrinkle.
Yeah, like, sick, bro. Your penis is go outside and just high five the statue. Sick burn.
And Carrie in here so I can double down on that shit.
Penis wrinkle.
Carrie, what's your impression? Is that you're a penis wrinkle? Because that's true.
Yo, get Carrie out. Yo, hold on. I got Carrie on the other side. Hang on.
How about you, what was the meanest thing you said?
I'm trying to remember.
I feel like you forget that stuff.
You do.
I'm going to say that I definitely think I...
You know, actually, backing around, the meanest thing I said to you is kind of probably more likely you'd remember, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as a kid, I definitely said really mean things.
Really?
Yeah. I think I worked really hard to get
like
rid of that. I get really upset with, like, I get really upset with bullies, but my response is always, I'm the guy who would be like, I wasn't unpopular. I had, like, my group of friends. I played sports. I knew the popular kids, but I wasn't really with them. But I would get really upset when people were just jerks. And I had that ability to say, not like your, like, it would be like your dad poor. Like, I would say the thing that would
that
break,
would cut
that
right
would
into,
cut through everything, yeah. And they would just stare, and then I knew they went home and cried.
Oh, wow.
And, like, and that was, it's such a bad
this
thing
is a
to
side.
Have.
This is a side
yeah.
of
yeah.
I've never heard.
Yeah, it's such a bad thing to have, and all I remember... This is getting deep now. All I remember is I definitely said something to my cousin.
Oh.
One of my cousins that I don't remember, but everybody else does.
Oh. Their whole family?
And they refuse, and like nobody will tell me what I said.
Whoa!
Yes. I said something so bad, like so deep cutting.
Wow.
That, yeah.
I feel like deep down you do remember and you chosen not to.
No, because I really, it was every time I did it, it felt like a villain power that I had. And again, it was always like for that self-righteous reason, and then I just felt so bad afterwards.
So is that it? Was that the straw?
That's why,
the...
I mean, you realize, like, that's why I'll always get, like, upset after meetings and rant, but, like, I try to stay incredibly
out of high-stressful
situations, because I know if I say something, it won't be like, huh, you fat piece of shit or something, it'll be like something like... Yeah.
It's an ender.
Think about it. Yeah. So I think I probably said a lot of bad stuff as a kid.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, what can I say?
Oh, man, it was a bully, huh?
No, it was the opposite. I was
a defender.
Bully implies that they
I was a bully. That is the problem.
You just destroyed them.
Yeah. But it's always like that. It would always be like the bully would be like saying something mean to somebody else or something. Uh-huh. And what I did was infinitely worse because I would, that. I mean, maybe not infinitely worse, but like, yeah, I would go up to that guy and then I would, you know.
Sure.
Crush them.
Dang.
So then
you find
tired.
All the sucker
the Robin Hood of sick burns.
A horrible, the Robin Hood that murder people. It was bad. So yeah, I try not to say mean things. I try to say
wow.
Yeah. That's why I try not to get angry.
Because you don't like me when I'm
angry. I don't like saying mean things, man. It's not good. It's got people have, you know what it is? I really realized like, you can just assume everybody's having a shitty day all the time.
Yeah.
And you just don't want to add to it. Like, it's so not worth any time. Like, that's why they'll be like, why don't you turn your, I'm that person now. It's like, why don't you turn your food back? Like, if you don't like it, I'm like, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a good enough person to say it like that. It's just like, it's over. Like, the food wasn't what I wanted. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make that person's day worse.
Yeah.
And start realizing that anything you say can just make somebody's day really shitty.
Yeah, no, it's you in the weird spot too. Yeah, I think I'm the same way too, is getting, it's the order's wrong. And she's like, I can still eat it.
Yeah.
So I guess
whatever.
My day's going pretty okay. I can take this.
Yeah, because maybe it's bad because maybe the chef's having a bad day. Maybe something happened. Maybe his wife's like, yo, I'm divorcing you. And he came home. And then it's like, oh, yo, my kid just died, but I got to keep cooking.
Yeah.
So the eggs aren't great. And the last thing I want to be like, yo, these eggs suck.
Yeah.
Take them back. I'm not paying for it, by the way.
Because there's going to be the day where you have that day and you freak out on a cook because of the thing. And
exactly.
You hope that they treat you with the same
exactly.
amount of like
exactly.
mercy as you did them.
So.
I have no qualms sending my food.
I know. No, you shouldn't.
I send it right back. I don't.
No, you're not a jerk about
like
it.
I'm not a jerk about
it. Yeah.
It's like, look, I'm super polite. I can't eat pickles, and I don't make it about them. I'm like, I'm allergic to pickles. I asked for no pickles, and there's pickles. I just can't eat it.
Yeah.
Would you mind making it?
No,
it
I'm not judging
trouble?
People who turn their food back. I was like, I overcompensate way in the other direction where I just try to be as unassuming and like. not. Yeah, I just try to be as nice or just more unassuming as I possibly.
There's a hidden reality show here where we just set up situations to try and piss Matt off and see how, long.
I mean, that was an MTV reality show.
Really?
Wait, no.
It was like a prank.
Boiling points. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It was kind of entertaining.
Reality shows are so evil.
They would just like, you would be in regular ass situations and it would be like, you're eating and somebody outside the window is like being really lewd and gross and weird and like hawking up loogies and stuff. And how long can you stay there without leaving? If you stay to a certain secret threshold.
There was a countdown.
There was a countdown that they didn't know about. And if you got past the countdown, they would come in and give you like $500.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I've just been training for that in case it could happen. Yeah. I never know if
that's
I'm on the
so
show.
So weird. It's like, I'm trying to think about, like, what does that imply about like what they're trying to say? That's bizarre.
That is bizarre.
That is bizarre. What about you guys? Hold on. The meanest things that the Birches have ever said to each other.
Ooh.
After the break. Stick around. Hey guys, Freddie here. Wanted to tell you about the last of the film panel series that we're doing with the LA Public Libraries. We're going to save the best one for last. It's going to be talking about visual effects. Me and Clinton Jones, the Punisher himself, going to be talking about visual effects, state of the industry, how to do it on a budget at the LA Public Libraries. Check out rocketjump.com for more details. If you're in the LA area, we'd love to see you. Come on by and listen to us jab for a bit in a library. And we are back. You guys are talking about space babies? Like what?
What?
Oh, Space Baby, I remember this bit. Anyway, whatever. I do remember the meanest thing I said to a kid. I actually do now, like going through it in my head at the break, I remember. There was this kid named, I think it was Steven. And Steven, I think, was actually an albino. Mm-hmm. Like white hair, like I think he actually was, or had something, albinism or something like that. But he was very white. And he was one of those kids, and it was like third grade. And he was one of those kids that was like, kind of hyperactive, you know, the kids who are like get super, super excited about stuff. So a hyperactive kid. And it was one of those things where just nobody really liked him. Mm-hmm. Because he was just like too hyperactive, just too much, you know, constantly. And everybody was just kind of annoying. And it was just sort of a thing. And I remember he would just hang around me constantly during recess. And I was just like, I just can't do anything. He's just like, the guy's just constant. And so I told him, I'm trying to remember what I told him, I'm like, dude, I didn't say dude, but I was like, you're really annoying and no one likes you. And it was like, I just saw it hit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, I felt so bad about it.
Please, you're high-fiving yourself in your head.
No, I felt like, it hit. So bad.
You threw that snowball and it hit the head.
I felt so bad.
And it's also a timing thing.
It was just timing everything. But then the happy ending to it was, then it was weird because after that, he like chilled out a little bit and then we became like really good friends. So
wow.
It's like, it was weird. It was one of those things where I was like, you can be super direct as a kid. Mm-hmm. And he kind of was like, oh gosh. And then it was just like, oh no, actually this guy's kind of cool. Like,
message
okay.
From Freddie Wong to America's youth.
Hey,
be shitty to each other.
Be shitty and you'll be friends.
Yo guys, be shitty to each other. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So what was the meanest thing you said to each other?
I can't think of anything we said to each other. There was a period of time in the middle of our lives where we just didn't like each other that much.
You didn't like me.
No.
Oh.
It was mutual.
Now we know how.
At the beginning, we really liked each other. In the middle, there was some hair stuff. And then now we're like the best friends ever. But this is not related to Ash and I, but I remembered the meanest thing I said to somebody. And it was on Twitter.
everyone knows it.
Because of course it was. But it was some guy was being a dick to me either about memes or about like my wife or some weird, really way too personal thing that I was just, mm-hmm. I was pissed off about. So I went through his Twitter mentor or Gamergate or something.
Those are serious.
Oh man.
I went through his Twitter.
You're targeting here. Target locking.
Yo, targeted attack.
I went through his timeline. I tried to find something specific and I found it.
Oh wow.
And I just responded to him. I just said, your dog is dead.
Oh,
and I didn't say, I'm glad your dog's dead.
She doesn't like you anymore.
I didn't say you killed your dog and your dog is dead. I just said it as a fact. Your dog is dead.
Whoa.
And he did not respond.
Nuclear strike.
Oh man.
That's great.
I cut the Gordian knot.
Yeah.
It was a bunker buster. Right there.
Yo, straight up, he was hitting you stealth status from the mountains.
How hard would you have gone with that? Like, if you found out, like, his kid had died, would you have been like, your kid?
Oh, God, no. No, I would have been like, okay, this is just really bad time in this guy's life. Blocking,
but dog was okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
Dog, it's like, you can get it.
No, I definitely had that situation where I had some, you know, it was, like, business stuff, and there was a guy that we were just, like, constantly having, like, an issue with regards to, like, anyway, it was like a film-related thing. And then I was just like, someone was like, oh, you know that, like, their first kid died. And I was like, I don't care about this anymore. Completely. Yeah. All the,
yeah. I'm no longer upset.
The small amount of debt now that we're fighting over is just completely meaningless. Clearly, I saw him later. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, that, I don't, you know what? Don't, yeah.
Forget it.
Just forget it. Jeez, man.
I'm not even going to begin to pretend what you're
I was just like, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if we ever said anything like that was like amusingly mean to one another.
Amusingly mean isn't mean. That's amusing. Like,
that's just amusing.
Well, I mean amusing in this context.
Oh.
Like,
oh, I
can't remember. Like, we used to like wrestle a lot.
Did we?
I watched a lot of WWF as a kid, and the reason your parents make you stop watching WWF is because you start doing wrestling moves on your kids.
I don't know if we wrestled so much as you just hit me.
Oh, yeah, I just power bombed you.
See, what you don't realize is those were carefully choreographed maneuvers. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just a mindless melee. Those were, in fact, well-known.
No, I broke kayfabe on Ash. It was not even close. I obliterated her.
I don't remember all of, unfortunately... I fucking hate this because it's such a goddamn stereotype, but all the mean shit that I did was in middle school between my girlfriends, and it was all fucking subterfuge and like going behind each other, that shit. And I hate it. I wish I'd just been like, you're a bitch or something. But it's always like, there was like three of us, and then I'd be like, she's kind of a bitch, huh? And they're like, yeah, right.
You really did that? Oh, wow.
That's hard.
I wouldn't peg you as that.
In middle school.
It's right. Like, I feel like that's a
but
it's
I,
weird.
But I feel guilty about it to this day. Like, yeah. I got past the age of 13, and I was like, who am I? And I'm so angry at myself. And all of high school, I thought about it constantly. I was
Did you ever high fidelity it and go back and apologize to them?
No. But we were all, I mean, we were all mean to each other, too. It was like one of those fucking things, you know?
It was the mutually assured destruction where one of you can't apologize because then their house of cards come tumbling down.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Everyone sucked in middle school is the thing that I
middle
tell myself
the
now.
Fucking worst.
I felt bad about it for such a long time. But it was like...
Kids have to do it. It's like animals play to like test like...
It's the raptors testing the fence.
You have to do this.
You know, that's what it is.
Well, yeah, no, you have to...
You have to know what your limits are. What can you get away with
that's
before someone pops
perfect.
You in the mouth, you know?
It's learning social. It's weird, but it's like learning. It's like there's a reason all kids do. It's like learning social skills. You learn how to gossip. You learn how to lie. You learn what it means to hurt people. And
but then also developmentally,
the good people grow out of it.
And also developmentally, like I know, I think I remember we're reading this where it's like girls are like 3 or 4 years ahead of guys in terms of that. So that's like that happens in like middle school as girls mature. But then guys are still just like. Hey, dude, I throw this at your nuts really hard. It'll hurt, right?
That's most of high school.
I just walk away, and the next day, like, hey, man.
I do remember, to sum it up, this is what I remember. I remember in, like, middle school, okay, this is, like, very specifically this. It was like, all the girls are hanging out, and there appears to be, like, a lot of, I don't understand.
It's like Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones happening over there. And then over here, like, my buddy was like, hey, I got this piece of cloth and two pieces of string. Let's jump from this hill into this like dirt bit, and then we can like do rolls. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And that's like what like every guy in my class would just line up with his little like homemade parachute, and he'd be like, I remember because he was so into the idea of parachuting. He's just like, this is how you have to do when you parachute. We're like, this is cool. I was like, that was our whole recess.
That's awesome.
Just jumping into a pit of dirt. The teachers must have been like,
yeah,
what are they? What are these kids doing?
Let them run off some steam.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't care. Smoke a cigarette in the back. Oh, did you guys ever do? The game where you like put your head between your knees and you hyperventilate and then like they block you stand
pass
like this,
each other
you
out
pass each other out
I don't know if you call that a game
torture.
It's just, yeah no, we it's would a, do but, that
yeah would you
yeah.
It's dangerous. Don't do it.
You ever heard of that?
I've heard of it, yeah. I considered doing it when I read it in Bruce Campbell's autobiography because that guy was my idol when I was a kid, but I didn't.
I remember everyone talking about it, and it was in gym class in high school. Everyone was talking about it, like, oh my God, it's so funny when they were doing it the last time.
Before the internet.
Yeah. We passed the kid out, and he started seizing.
Whoa.
And it was the most terrifying
shit.
Experience to that point in my
kids
life.
Kids have died.
I was like, that's it. No, we're not
doing
that anymore.
Crazy.
It's horrible.
Man, I don't have any stories like that, actually. Well, I'm glad I don't have a story like that. But
why have I never seen somebody seize up?
God damn it.
My life is bullshit.
I don't know. I feel like so much of being a girl at that age was like, I also felt like, because I grew up with like a brother and around all of your friends, and I was like, they're older, so they're cooler. And I just thought that it was like cooler to be more boyish, and it was like me not wanting to be more girlish than not.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I remember one time I came in on you watching Sailor Moon. I went, poof, this stupid shit. And you went, yeah, it's so stupid. And looking back, I was like, no!
You ruined it, man!
That's why, honestly, it's fucking dorky, but that's why Sailor Moon's so important to me, because that was like the first time I watched something where I was like, girls are cool. Yeah. Like, it's weird because I've talked to so many of my friends now that are girls too, that like you go through a period of just being sexist.
Oh yeah.
Against against your own gender, and then you're like, oh wait, this is learned and stupid. Oh, okay, great. Yay.
If you're fucking lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah. If you're lucky.
And Sailor Moon is that for, I know Lauren loves Sailor Moon. My wife is like a huge,
and it's fucking amazing.
It's the same thing.
It's so good.
I asked why, and it's like, it's literally that answer. It's like, because those girls being girls, but they're cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was kick is like feminine stuff done cool rather than it having to be a girl who just acts exactly like a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The first episode is her crying so hard, all the bad guys die.
Well, in the new one.
Imagine Stallone doing that. Like, it would never happen. Like, but I would watch it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But yeah, because I liked all the fucking, like, the romance thing. I liked the text. Like, I liked all that shit. I just didn't feel like it was, like, cool for me to like it. But then I, like, saw Sailor Moon, and
society was telling you that every feminine thing that was not cool to like.
Yeah, because they talk about, it's like, yeah, it's like the definitions oftentimes, like, well, this is a strong female character. It's like, well, if you look at it, it's like, oh, all she's doing is just like, it's just a dude, but in, you know, it's like, that's not really,
it's strong female character in big quotation marks.
Yeah.
There's also like seven girls in that show, which usually you get like the one, and then she's like all women for you in that show. You know, she's like, oh, I can be the sporty one, or I can be the smart one. There's other things I can be. Oh my
it's,
God.
Like, it's like the Korean boy band methodology of casting, which is, have you seen that?
No.
Korean boy bands are hilarious because they'll have like 30 members or like 20 members, and it's so clearly just like,
it's
wow,
everybody.
It's
every type of person.
Every silver, and it's like, wow, it's the fat nerdy guy. He's dancing? Okay. He doesn't do much dancing.
The super slick Wall Street guy.
It's like
the dumb sexy one.
It's
not that
great
looking one, but really smart. Like, it's like
crazy.
It's like every dude you could possibly
like Super
want.
Junior has like 13 members. Like their photo, like their posters, it's just like a class photo of hot dudes.
That's
just like,
so smart though.
It's so great.
That's brilliant, actually.
It's hilarious.
Because then every girl is like, yeah, that one,
there's something for me,
yeah. Like NSYNC. None of those motherfuckers. JT, like, aged like a fine wine.
Was my spider?
Let's be real.
Yeah, he did.
NSYNC era, I was like, that one,
see,
I guess? I
that's
don't
why
know.
Spice Girls was
you
smart.
Were,
it was only five people
on
the same
horse.
Thing.
Huh?
You backed the wrong horse, I remember. You backed Lance.
No, I didn't back Lance.
No, you were JC.
JC. Because I had no options. Yeah. Justin Timberlake had a fro back then.
Yeah,
what was I going to do?
It was not good.
He didn't know.
He didn't know. But yeah, that sort of like hyper segmented look at like pop. It's just hilarious.
That's so
to me.
Funny. I mean, Japanese girl bands are like that too, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I remember that, like, I learned about they give you like booklets about their personality.
Yeah, no, it's sort of like a theater playbill. It's like AK-40, like Akihabara 48,
right?
And they're just like, there's 48 of you? And they're like, yes, not only are there 48 of us, and we're from Akihabara, there's also, like, they exported that. So there's like the Mumbai 48, and then there's like other cities in Japan. And then what's crazy, as Kevin was talking about this, the ones in other countries will do covers of songs and they'll tour other countries where they have the same version of them. It's like, what's going on? There's just like 150 girls just like touring the world singing the same song.
It's the beginning of a really awesome like Kingsman villains plot. Yeah. Just build an army.
It's really weird. Yeah, but yeah, they're saying like they'll do covers, they'll do their own originals, and they'll come back all around. Like they'll do an original in Mumbai that hits, and then the Japanese one will cover that. It's like, there's so many layers of fandom here.
And it's like, you know when you get like, or I don't know if you remember, but like, if you got like the Final Fantasy disc and you open the manual, the beginning is like all the character bios and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like their age and like the things they like.
And their blood type.
And their blood type for some fucking reason. Gross. But they have that for AK-48. And it's just like, she likes, you know, sushi and this thing. And she likes pizza and this thing. And like, they're like, have all the personality types. It's so fucking crazy. But it makes sense.
Yeah, it's like you're connecting to the person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. It's like, it feels like weirdly like, collectible, like collect your favorite.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, which one's your favorite
one's
Pokemon?
Your favorite?
Matt?
Yeah, it's literally like, yeah, they might as well be Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Is that I would play that game,
Pokemon,
going to the grass,
but with Japanese pop stars.
Pop stars, and then you like you make pop songs.
Yeah, you battle Mumbai 48 against AK-48.
I was like, I need her so that I get those sweet soprano vocals
and
I want.
We get those dance moves. Yeah. We need dance moves for the breakdown. Quick, go.
I just thought about what the metaphor of the Power Stone would be to like level up a Pikachu before it's time, and I got real dark in my head.
Money.
This is like, I don't know why we're talking about Pokemon.
Whatever.
Well, but this is the same thing.
Hold
on, back up for a second. But to contextualize, it's the same thing as pro wrestling, right? It's like, you pick your favorite wrestler. It's like, this is the one.
Same
thing.
Yeah.
Pokemon is the same thing as wrestling is the same thing as Japanese pop stars.
Well,
that's what
you know
what?
No, actually, now that I'm thinking about that, pro wrestling now is like that.
Oh, interesting.
You know, in the heyday, in the 80s, in the early 90s, going into the Attitude Era, those you couldn't relate to any of those guys.
They were all
fun
weird
to watch.
Characters.
But they're like action figures, though.
Yeah,
like they were human
figures,
action figures.
But yeah. Right, but not yeah. people that like, oh, well, this yeah, guy's yeah. like me.
Yeah,
no, because you're not the corrupt like, cop, right. big boss yeah. man. You're not Jake the Snake, the Creeper with a cobra on his back. You're
yeah,
nothing like
Razor
the
Ramon, the white
like...
guy who pretended to be a Spaniard in a way that, looking back, was super racist.
So racist. Oh, yeah. You couldn't identify with any of those guys. It's just big toys. Because
yeah. yeah. now it's like they're more like cartoony and stuff.
Well,
right?
No, they're like,
they're
people.
They were more cartoony, and now that the whole kayfabe era is dead, they're more like real.
Yeah,
people.
There's
like,
actually a really
oh,
awesome
really?
Radiolab yeah. episode on
it just came
the
out on this, yeah.
something. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. With
the Montreal Screwjob.
The Montreal Screwjob. That's the moment that all of wrestling changed from weird characters, cartoon guys, to real people. And it's because of real actual behind the scenes drama that they then tried to like cycle into, wait, what if we just changed it so that like the owner of the company could be a bad guy in the story of the company? Wait a second. And then they did it and it became more popular than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. We need to do a whole thing with, maybe we did talk about this, but yeah, I mean, wrestling's fascinating to me because I never really watched as a kid ever.
Oh yeah,
but,
my cousins were really
huge into
it. Into
it.
Yeah,
and when we lived at the whole place at Hunter, it was Benji would watch it, and I was like, "I'm this stupid wrestling stupid. I don't want to watch it. It's fake and blah blah blah." But then I realized like it's a soap opera.
Oh yeah,
for dudes, like the weirdest. And then what fascinated me was that element of it, where they would have like the head of the company and the drama in front of like a crowd of 60,000 people. Was contract negotiations. Yeah. I was like, this is insane. It's like, you want the $2 million a year? You want that? Then 5 years guaranteed.
And he's no like, key man clause.
Yeah, I don't do 5 years. I only do three in this rumble. I was like, this is insane. Yeah. I was like, this is what, it's like people are just watching awesome. Super rich people argue about contracts and then fight.
Yeah. I was like, they found a way to combine them. The central drama this last 6 months was a guy that has a suitcase that has a contract for an awesome fight, and people trying to fight to get the suitcase back in a cage.
No
it's
way!
Brilliant.
Yeah,
it's
and it's
so
like,
smart.
I was like, okay. And then I got pretty into it. I was watching, when Benji would watch, I would watch, and if I didn't have time too much, I'd always just get updates from him. I was like, yo, so what happened to John Cena? Like, did he get the contract? Like, what's going on?
You're watching at a fascinating time, actually. That was after The Rock, who was one of the biggest superstars, perhaps the second biggest superstar. Third. We got Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, and then Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He had gone off to become a huge movie star.
Yeah.
And then
he was coming
back as himself, the movie star, to fight the new leader of the company, John Cena.
And it was funny just how, like, the drama was so meta and, like, real because, like, the drama was, like, oh, he tried to be a big movie star, but he failed, and he's coming back. He's got to read his lines off cue cards. Like, he ain't as cool as he think he is.
And his argument was, I left, and this place is falling apart.
I got to come back and fix it. And it's like, it's weird, because you're like, I guess that's the real drama, but clearly it's done. And just, it's really fascinating. Yeah. I into it. Totally like a wrestling now.
Pro wrestling. But...
I want it on in my right. If I ever contract a terminal disease, I really, really want Ash to fight Jennifer Hale. In some sort
why
of
why is this your Make-A-Wish?
Yeah, it's my Make-A-Wish. Oh, I want you
like,
and Jennifer.
Why are those things correlated?
I thought it was just part of the sick
no,
thing.
No, sorry.
There's like, I want
to be dying and I want to see two voice actors fight.
I'm going to be dead and I can watch it.
Jennifer Hale would destroy me. And emotionally, psychologically, talent-wise,
that's what her promos that she cuts before say, is that it's really easy and you're like the scrappy underdog. It's like you've never watched wrestling.
I would be rooting for Jennifer Hale. I love Jennifer Hale.
Yeah. It's you guys doing it.
Is she a WWE person?
No, Jennifer Hale is the voice of Commander Shepard.
She's the voice of Commander Shepard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And like a million other things.
But not WWE.
Not WWE.
Not yet.
He just wants them to fight.
Yeah, he's those are my two favorite voice actors. I want them to fight for my amusement as I die. That's a normal thing, right? Everybody wants
guys,
that.
Right? I feel like our makeup.
I stand by that. That's weirder than my eyeball thing. I just want to make sure that I don't come out on top here. I think that was weirder than my eyeball thing.
I think so.
All right, cool.
I feel like
I didn't describe weird mouth feelings on my fucking shoulder. Mine was maybe more specific. I don't know if it was weirder.
All right, we'll leave it to the audience to decide.
Which one was weird?
Which one was like voting and like
just mad 100% weirder.
Yeah, clearly, guys, four votes. Where was I going with this?
I don't know. I liked watching your face. I saw so many emotions in your face as you forgot.
Oh,
what
the
make a wish.
I feel like the make a wish for. I feel like the make a wish for me would be to do
one of the Step Up movies.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Like, I'd be so happy.
I was waiting for a name. And you're like, what band Spice is he talking Girls? About? Yeah. And then Step Up movies.
Step movies.
I don't think I need to make a wish. I think if you were like, I 100% want to do Step Up,
if you
could
said, I really want to do this, I don't think anyone's going to stop you.
Because we're the only people who like it.
Sorry, kid.
Listen, if you ask you to do the Step Up movies, ask you to do a video, and you go, yeah, but the price is.
But the price is the movie.
Yeah.
That's going to be an hour and a half long in a lot of theaters. But I remember because we keep finding groups of people who are like, it's like a secret, like shameful, like
no,
obsession.
No shame. We've never been shamed about.
No, we've never
about
been.
It.
But these other people are. They're like, they hear about us being so boisterous about it. And they're like, yeah. You guys like it too? Because I really like the movie. It's like, well, join us.
We go every midnight screening. Last midnight screening was me, Freddie, and John Carman. That's it. Not a single other person was in the theater.
In the entire theater.
We forced John Carman to come, and we were screaming the whole time. Yeah, we love
Step Up movies.
Have you guys watched them?
No. Are they like Fast and the Furious where it's like high art, low art kind
it
of stuff?
It is actually like Fast and
the
Furious.
Yeah. But there's
same thing where there's like a weird connectivity to all the movies and like the last movie was literally like, yeah, kind of like Fast and Furious 5. It's like all the characters from all the Step Ups came together for different
to dance.
And
they stepped it the fuck up.
They stepped it up.
What's amazing is just because like the only thing that has stakes is always just like it has to be dance related, right?
Right.
It's a weird like world as seen through the eyes of dancers, which is just bizarre because the world where dance solves. And my favorite part of the newest movie is like their whole crew from the previous Step Up movie from Miami. I've moved out to LA, right? And then their whole dance crew, and they're just like, yeah, because they got a contract. We got a Nike commercial. Yeah, let's go to LA. Yeah, we're going to make it. And then this one starts with them, and they're doing auditions, and they can't hit the auditions. And they're like arguing outside of place on like Hollywood.
This is
somewhere.
The best line of all time.
He goes like, come on, man. It's like, we got to go back to Miami. It's like, what? No, guys, we came out here to pursue our dreams of becoming dancers. Like, dude, we just got that Nike gig for like $60,000 6 months ago. And then we haven't gotten anything.
No, he literally says like, it's like, yo, the Nike gig was, he's like, man, $60,000 can only split 12 ways so far. It's like, you guys left everything in New York and went to LA for $60,000
split
12 ways by Nike? Like, you didn't be like, yo, can we have, like, $400,000 for our commercial
Nike,
by Nike?
That's it. And it was like, so weird. We're like, wait, you guys.
But you realize that's the charm of that movie is that it's clearly written and produced and done by real dancers.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not really good movies, but they're not insincerely bad movies. They're really
sincere. Completely
sincere. And they're dumb in, like, a way that's, like,
really fun.
It's like, oh, this is just, you know, they're dancers. They're not
but
really
just the
storytellers.
Whole time I remember Matt and I'd be like, they've been here in LA for like 6 months. What? Where are they getting, like, they all living in a shack? That's like a dollar a day of spending for each of them. That's insane.
It was so good.
I hope there's another one. It looks like there's not one lined up yet.
What it needs is a Fast and Furious 3 moment where it's like everyone looked around. They're like, wait a minute.
Oh, you know what? That'd be a great crossover.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious Step Up?
Yeah. Yes.
God. I was trying to think of the title, but I didn't.
Too Dance, Too Furious?
Too Dance, Too Furious?
I think you did it.
Too
Dance,
Too Furious?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Like, wait, so it's Step Up involved? Yeah, but the title's not in. No.
Where's the first one? It's like, don't worry about it. But three has like genuine moments of cinematic art.
Oh, three's a great.
Three is the
most fun
one?
Movie.
Yeah. John Chu's killing it.
Yeah, he knows how to stage a scene, and there's some great. It's also all the dance sequences are really cinematic and different. Whereas like pretty much the other movies, all the dance numbers are cool, but they all just kind of feel like big Broadway productions that you're watching. I mean, the last one was by the person who did a lot of the
music video
of the band.
Oh, the AKB.
No, the band that does all the one take stuff.
Okay, Go. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the music director of a lot of the OK Go videos. So there's like some
cool
stuff there.
Nice.
But yeah, Step Up Three, like John Chu, it's like every dancing was like big, like kind of cinematic thing. And he has one that's like a straight up like homage to Singing in the Rain. It's a giant one take, and it's just like the young guy and the young girl, and it's like they're their best friends. So it's kind of like really sweet romantic dance. It's just in this elaborate one take, and it's awesome.
We're watching it right after this.
Yeah, it's great.
In fact, we're watching it right now because it's time to wrap up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go watch Step Up.
The end.
Anyway, thanks.
Nice having you.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Yes. This is fun.
I have 7 Step Up movies to watch or however many.
Five. We'll watch them all today.
All right.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
It's also hilarious how many of them end with like the big dance showdown is always just like at the docks or something. So I was just like, well, guys, how many? Oh, well, real quick, just one thing. And then 7-4, they solved one of the most insane things about 7-4, which is the Miami ones. Like, they solved the problem of like, okay, this guy that's big billionaire developer is like expanding into the bar and like, you know, changing Miami's culture, man. And it's like, yeah, he's a big condo developer, just changing these places. And it's like, oh, and the daughter, love interest, oh, conflicted. Her dad is the guy, but yeah. Also she wants to dance and loves this dude who's, and you're just like, okay, how are they going to solve this? Because this is just a developer changing this. And the end, they do a big flash mob, and he's like, literally the end of the movie is the developer looking to them and being like, we can talk about this, and then shaking hands. That was it. You're like, what? Talk about what? You're still developing.
And they're all excited.
And they're excited. Like, yeah, we did it.
And they're like, that's how the man wins. Like he's like, yeah, we'll talk about it. You guys are pretty cool. Like, yo, we thought he was cool. This is awesome. We're definitely not going to tear down the. And it's like, of course he is. Like, of course he is.
There's
hard cut to a year later, 1,000 condos. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's why they're not like. Anyway. So, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks to Benjamin Dolly. Podcast producer, Alex Reeves, Point Blue Studios, mix, mastering, engineering, true American citizen, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.